Game by Andy Hamilton, starring James Grout as the Professor, Jimmy Mulville as Thomas, Robert Duncan as the Demon, and Andy Hamilton as Satan.
I am he. I am he who waits for you beneath the trapdoor of your fears, whose glowing fiery eyes stare up at you when you gaze into the abyss of your despair. So look on me and tremble, mortal. Tremble at my hair of spitting vipers, my flesh slicing claws, and my tongue of poison that will enslime your entrails until you scream the never-ending scream of the damned. For I am he, the great punisher, the dread deliverer of eternal pain.
Sadie.
Well, yes.
What, loads of and a few dozen I am he's? I'm sorry, but that was about as scary as a lemon mousse.
Well, I am sorry, but then it is rather difficult to scare you, given that you are Satan, Prince of Darkness.
Fair point. No, I'm not typically your target audience, that's true.
But believe me, oh master, many's the time I've turned a mortal's blood to ice.
Yeah, well, that's always good for a laugh, isn't it? They don't half go blue, don't they? Yeah? And then sort of yellow, and then sort of brownish green. Still, we haven't got time to stand around swapping funny anecdotes about gangrene. The thing is, what's your name again?
Scumspawn.
Scumspawn? Oh, good name. Nice and distinguished. The thing is, Scummy, I'm really looking for a more experienced demon to be my assistant. Someone who's executive material, who's decisive, confident, who's good at handling people and their internal organs. But above all, this individual must be totally terrifying. A real brown trouser maker.
Well, I could do that, Master. Let me make brown trousers.
No, I'm sorry, you're just not...
You know, I have many demonic talents I've not yet shown you.
No doubt.
I can spin my flailing tail so fast, it can slice sinners into bite-sized morsels of flesh, see?
Yes, very scary and handy for preparing picnics, I'm sure.
I can propel jets of toxic steam from my ears.
Yeah, very impressive.
And I can fire huge missiles of putrid snot from my nostrils.
Oh, for pity. Have you got a cloth?
I'm terribly sorry, my lady. I was aiming to your left, but when I'm nervous, the old accuracy goes, I'm afraid.
Oh, look at the state of me. I've been pebble-dashed with Gilberts.
Sometimes, if I get really nervous, the snot missiles just sort of fire themselves at random.
Oh, well, that's something to look forward to. Listen, Scumspawn, this is not the job for you. You're just too inexperienced. You're very green, and so am I now.
Wipe yourself clean on my twisted humps and hairy deformities, Master.
Oh, right. Yes. See, I need someone steeped in crisis management. I'll show you why. Come. Peep into the bowels of that smoky pit. Third one on the left. Oh. Right down, right at the bottom. Now, tell me, what do you see?
Tens of thousands of sinners piled up in a big, swarming, wailing heap.
Tens of thousands. Exactly, yeah. And that's just the latest delivery from only one town, Birmingham. Yeah. That's why the wailing sounds so irritating. And all the time, thousands more are flooding in. I mean, murderers, rapists, blackmailers, robbers, arsonists, and people who support Man U who aren't from Manchester. God knows who else. And the system can't handle it anymore. There's just too many of the little buggers. And there you go. I knew that was going to happen. Look, pit 92, it's got so full, they've managed to clamber out the top. Look, and that's a top security pit, yeah? Full of sexual compulsives. I mean, all right, I know this is supposed to be the realm of chaos, but it's turned into the realm of total bloody shambles.
Well, let me deshamble your realm, Master. Let me serve you.
Yeah, well, it'll take more than airborne snot to control these hooligans. Look at them. Rogering each other like coked-up baboons.
I will master these fleshlings. Believe me, my prince of putrefaction, I can make any mortal tremble before me.
Any mortal, eh? Have you heard of one called the Professor?
I have heard talk of this Professor. They say he is, not easy to torment.
No, he's very difficult to torment. Many demons have tried. 34, to be precise. 19 of them had nervous breakdowns. 12 are still on sick leave. 2 ran away. And 1 left a note and then fell on his pitchfork. The problem is, you see, the professor's got this attitude, which means he doesn't really experience hell as an inferno of eternal torment. To him, it's more a sort of research project.
Watch me, my prince. He shall tremble before my countenance.
Right, yes. Well, if he does, then the job's yours. Yeah, yeah. In the meantime, grab a net and help me bag up all these copulating bunkaholics.
All right.
Shouldn't be too difficult. Let's face it, they're not going to notice us sneaking up on them,
no,
are they?
So look on me and weep, thou lost damned soul. For I am he who you have always feared, the great punisher, the dread deliverer of eternal pain.
Golly.
Give me not your golly, mortal. Confess, you were stricken with terror.
Scumspawn, he was not stricken with terror. Face it, you're not up to the job, sir.
He is fear from us, master. Is that not so, Rich?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is very so. I was terrified, really. I think he deserves to get this job, whatever it is.
So, you're saying you were scared?
Totally petrified. For instance, when he did that long, loud, ferocious, demonic laugh...
You chuckled along with him.
No, that wasn't a chuckle. No, that was nervous laughter. Because I was in a very scary situation, you know, a bit like giggling at a funeral. Occasionally, your emotions sort of trip when you come out with the wrong response.
Well, I giggle at every funeral.
Yes, but you're warped, aren't you?
Look, don't try and get round me with flattery, Prof. The plain truth is, you were not scared.
No, I really was, honest. Especially when he fired those big balls of mucus things from his nostrils.
But you laughed then as well.
Well, only because they hit you. Well, can I have my hanky back, by the way?
Forgive me, Master, I was aiming at the mortal, but I...
Got nervous, I know, yeah.
That's a very interesting capability you have there, old chap. How exactly do you fire the snot? And in such big dollops, it's fascinating.
Stop that.
Well, presumably you force it out through some sort of sudden muscular spasm or explosive chemical agent.
Stop there.
It's probably triggered by a fight-or-flight survival reflex.
I said stop this now.
Stop what?
You know what? I've warned you before. This is hell. My kingdom, not your bloody laboratory. So pack in the David Attenborough routine or I'll fill your testicles with soldier ants again.
Ah, now, soldier ants are interesting. Did you know that they... Oh, good Lord, your eyes have gone bright purple. Oh, now they're going a sort of orangey crimson. Those amazing things, eyes. Of course, they actually see the world upside down. And it's our brain that turns everything the right way up. Now, isn't that weird? I mean, that's the human eye, of course. Demons' eyes look a bit more like snakes' eyes in some ways. And so it... Oh, that's interesting. Yours have gone completely black now. But they're smoking.
Professor.
Yeah?
I think it would be better for us all if you just kept quiet for a bit.
Oh, I see. Right.
Thank you, Scumspawn. You're obviously brighter than you look.
Then let me serve you.
I'll think about it. In the meantime, return to your duties in the sodomite roasting section.
I obey your satanic majesty.
Oh, and thanks for your help earlier. Sorry you got bitten.
How did he get bitten?
Oh, he was separating humans as they engaged in sexual congress. Dangerous work, especially when there's Italians involved. I must say, I've never seen 26 of them trying to simultaneously mate with one female before. I thought only frogs did that.
Well, you've obviously never been to a rugby club.
I mean, a breakout in hell. I ask you to... The whole place is falling apart.
Of course, Dawkins would argue that what you witnessed was the human body as a mere survival machine for genes, simply obeying a secret coded biological command to reproduce.
Yeah, well, that doesn't explain what they were doing with their tongues. Oh, I've had it with this place. It's God's fault. There's a basic design defect. You see, his projections were all wrong. Hell was just never built to cope with this level of human depravity. Systems overloading. I mean, at least in the old days, I got to regulate the intake, you know. I'd walk abroad in the world of men, pick a punter, tempt him into sin, bish bash bosh, drag him to his doom. Nowadays, most of them make it here under their own sting. I blame the teachers.
When you go, walking abroad, do you ever happen to, come across my wife at all?
Why do you ask?
Well, I don't know. I've just been thinking about Deborah a lot recently.
Well, she was all right last time I looked.
What do you mean, last time you looked? You weren't tempting her.
Good Lord, no. I was doing a bit of work on the bloke at number 23. Not that I need to, really. Now he's won the lottery, he's as good as mine, but...
The thing is, I was wondering if, when her time comes, my wife should end up, here. Is there any chance she might be allowed to be with me?
Oh, I'm not supposed to do that, Prof. You'll get me into trouble.
Well, I just thought, Deborah's quite a nervous person. I mean, she might find this place a bit on the daunting side. And besides, I get...
Not lonely, surely.
Well, yes.
How can you be lonely? You've got me. You do enjoy our little chats, don't you?
Oh, yes, I do. But you do monopolise me, rather. You never seem to let me mix with other humans.
Well, that's because you're better than them.
And I mean, at least when you billeted me with Thomas, I mean...
Thomas? You're not seriously telling me that you miss Thomas?
Well, in a way...
Thomas, the most odious piece of human slime ever to pull on a shell suit.
I know he's got his bad points.
The man who would sell his grandmother. Correction, the man who did sell his grandmother. Organ by organ. To Dewhurst's.
Well, that was wrong of him, I grant you, but... Damn it, where's he gone?
I didn't like having him around. He lowered the tone.
He lowered the tone? Hell?
Yeah, you got a problem with that. I do have some standards, you know. So I've stashed him somewhere appropriate, okay? Yeah. Anyway, Thomas was responsible for your death. I mean, he deliberately bashed you off the motorway because you had the gall to observe the speed limit. So why are you bothered about him?
Well, I don't know. I miss him, I suppose.
Oh, right. Well, I see. So what you're saying is you prefer Thomas's company to mine.
No, I'm not saying that.
Well, in that case, your wish is granted.
Hello, Thomas.
Oh, it's you.
Where are we?
No idea.
And what are we?
But why don't you ask your mate, The one who put me here. Old Buffalo Bonce.
Well, we're obviously microscopic. We seem to be suspended in some kind of fluid. Have you observed anything that might give us some kind of a clue?
Well, there's one thing that's a bit odd. Every now and again I get this weird feeling. The next thing I know I get this shooting pain up my middle and then suddenly... I've somehow divided myself in two and I'm staring at an exact duplicate of myself.
I've got it. You're a single-cell organism.
Oh, whoopee.
And so am I, presumably. Have you noticed any other phenomena?
Well, from time to time, there's this sudden whoosh and a big rumbling sound and a violent, turbulent surge and then it all calms down again until the next whoosh.
I bet I know what we are. We're the organisms that cause amoebic dysentery.
Oh, no.
Protozoans. They're wonderful little organisms, you know. They're used in sewage farms to devour excrement.
I can't believe this. Do you know who I was? I was the chairman of Albion Water PLC. I was always on TV. Panorama, World in Action. My no comment was considered the finest in the business. 5 times I was on Newsnight, and each time I gave Paxman a bloody good thrashing. All my employees said so. I once played tennis just 4 courts along from Elton John. I belonged to the same health club as Chris Evans. I rode with the same hunt as Ginny Hill. And I had the same urologist as 3 of the gladiators. I was somebody, mate. And now what am I? An incredibly tiny sewage-eating crap causer.
Oh, well, that's life, isn't it? You can't have the ups without some downs.
If only I had fists.
Are you okay?
I just can't take any more of this. Any more of being punished, constantly turned into revolting things. Look, Satan listens to you. Can't you stop him persecuting me like this?
Well, you'd need to change your outlook, I think.
I can change. I want to change. I could be like you, all positive and kind. I could learn that stuff. Tell him, I'll change. Please, as of this moment. There, I've changed. Meet the new Thomas.
Yes, and talking of the new Thomas, you appear to be subdividing.
Oh, not again. Oh, I hate this feeling.
Oh, just look at that. Oh, I'm subdividing as well. Isn't this fascinating?
Oh, shut your face. Face.
If only Dawkins could see this.
Eye of sea snake, teeth of shark, and claws of crab that scratch and mark, tentacles of giant squid with horns inside to rip and tear your skin, your organs, and your bones. Behold me, mortal, and despair.
Well?
First of all, making things rhyme doesn't make them more impressive. Tim Rice proves that. Second, I don't rate this new design you've gone for. It's a confused hodgepodge. You know, you've got crab's claws growing on the end of squid's tentacles. You look like something that's been washed up on the beach at Sellafield.
Well, I think a mortal would find this extremely scary, as it happens.
All right, I'll summon up our adjudicator.
Wow!
Now, welcome back, Prof. How's Thomas, by the way?
Well, he's panicking a bit. The bowel movements seem to be getting more turbulent.
Oh, well, that's good news. Right, now, I need your objective opinion, okay? I'd like you to turn around.
Right.
Now, you see that 12-foot-high seafood cocktail?
Yes.
Is that scary?
Scary. Well, it's different.
Right, on your bike, Scunspawn.
Please, Master.
You're not right for the job.
Well, let me show you my spectacular skills of mutability. Watch and marvel as I transform myself into the very essence of a ghastly apparition.
See?
That's the lawnmower.
Oh, no, not again.
Yep.
I keep trying to turn myself into a hydra, but for some reason it always comes out as a fly mower. I think it's nerves.
Yeah, well, hover off and trim someone's borders. That is my imperial command, Scumspawn.
Yes, my liege.
Yeah, he won't take no for an answer, that boy.
Do you think I could have a word with you about something?
Well, will it take long? I mean, I've got loads more demons to interview for the job as my number two, and I've got more pits overflowing. It's total bedlam, I think.
Well, it's just that I'm...
You see, I need some quality time to rethink the whole resource management strategy game plan, because we are just too stretched. And all the time, more and more sinners just keep flooding in, especially since the invention of that chocolate body spread. And cling film.
Cling film?
Don't ask.
No, the thing I wanted to ask you was...
You wouldn't believe some of the depravities they get up to these days, and I don't blush easily.
Look, I don't want to discuss sexual depravity. I want to talk about Thomas.
I think you just contradicted yourself there, Prof.
So why do you single him out for such special persecution? I mean, it's hardly fair, is it? After all, you tempted him into sin.
I didn't need to tempt Thomas. He was a natural, a born degenerate. If you left him in an empty room, he'd shag the walls.
Yes, well, he's decided to change.
He's what?
He's resolved to change, be a better person.
Oh, stop it.
Well, that's what he said, and what's more, I believe him.
Oh, here we go.
Thomas has the potential to change.
Well, Dale Winton has the potential to win the Nobel Peace Prize, but that ain't going to happen, is it?
All right, I'll bet you Thomas can change.
You're on. What's the stake?
Okay, if Thomas changes, then you break the rules, and if my wife should end up here, you'll let her stay with me.
Ooh. That's a lulu of a bet to place on a no-hoper like Thomas, Prof. Are you sure you wouldn't rather back a Teletubby to win the Grand National? Or Man City to win at home?
Do you accept my bet?
But of course.
And if Thomas can't change and you win... Well, what do you get?
Oh, the exquisite gloating will be more than sufficient, thank you.
hope I can change. I mean, lots of people do change. Look at Mad Frankie Fraser. He changed. I think he changed. Or did he just get a good agent? Oh, I don't know. I want to be better.
There. I suppose you reckon he's just saying that for our benefit.
No, he can't hear or see us.
Oh, I see. Reminds me of the Noel Edmonds show.
Yeah. This is just like the Noel Edmonds show, apart from having a point. Now, why does he keep blubbing all the time? I mean, I've ended his work experience as an amoeba.
Hang on. Who's this young girl?
Uh-huh. Game on.
Gosh, she's amazingly beautiful. Who is she?
Just watch.
Excuse me.
Hello.
I didn't mean to startle you.
That's okay.
It's very scary here, isn't it? And I don't know what I'm doing here. One moment I was on the way home from the disco. The next thing I know, there was this bus skidding towards me, and then everything went black. Oh, God. I just feel so frightened and alone.
I know. Listen, Alice. I know how you feel. That's how I felt when I just arrived in this terrible, bleak place, but you must hang on to two thoughts. One is that no matter how grim the circumstances, as long as you can keep your sense of identity and self, then you still matter.
Oh, pass the sick bag.
Yes, but why is he saying it, eh? To make another human being feel better.
Well, maybe.
Me one, Satan nil.
Yeah, it's only half time, Prof.
The other thing you must hang on to, Alice, is hope. Because hope is that engine that keeps you going. And it's housed in that indefinable center of your being that's your soul, or whatever you want to call it. And Satan and all his minions cannot touch that part of you, provided you refuse to surrender it.
Thomas?
Yes, Alice?
Will you protect me? Only I'd feel safe if I was with you.
No, I'm sorry, Alice. I can't protect you. We all stand alone before eternity.
Thomas?
Yes?
Can there really be any light in this blackness?
You must provide your own light, Alice.
Thomas?
Yes?
Why is your hand on my breast?
Oh, no.
My hand is on your breast, Alice, by way of reassurance.
And your other hand?
Is reassuring your bottom half.
I...
Oh, no, I... I'm sorry, my master. I got nervous. I've never been groped before.
You're not, Alice. You're some...
One of my minions, Thomas, yes.
I just couldn't hold on to the form of a beautiful 16-year-old schoolgirl, my liege. Once I started panicking, it was... Oh, forgive me, I failed you.
Calm down. Oh, God, he's turned into a lawnmower again.
Sorry, Your Majesty. Give me one more chance to prove I am worthy. Let me scourge this randy mortal with my tungsten no-snag blades.
You let me down, Thomas. You vowed you could change.
Oh, come on. That was entrapment. There's a lovely, innocent 16-year-old feeling vulnerable. What's a man supposed to do?
Let me mow him till he's a pile of newly cut flesh clippings.
No, Scumsborn. We'll dispatch Thomas from whence he came. Back to being a bit of dysentery in Robert Maxwell's alimentary canal.
Oh, I wish you hadn't told me that. Oh, please! No!
Will you still consider me for the role as your number two, my prince?
I'm sorry, Scumsborn. I love your enthusiasm, but I just can't afford an assistant who gets nervous and turns into gardening equipment. Now off you go. Go on.
But then give me other chances to serve you.
Yeah, we'll see. Nice lad. Shame about the brain. Now then, Frost. See this face? This is my gloating face. It's the same face that I greet American evangelists with. Of course, I'm usually holding a poker then, but...
Well, I don't see what you've got to gloat about.
What? We just witnessed Thomas in characteristic full jackal mode.
Well, I admit he was disappointingly selfish.
Disappointingly selfish? That's the most inaccurate use of language since Posh Spice. He was revoltingly evil, that's what he was. And you bet your wife's eternal accommodation on the pathetic hope that Thomas was changing.
And he is.
He forced his attentions on a vulnerable young girl who came to him for help.
Yes, but I saw him hesitate.
What?
For a few moments, he definitely hesitated.
Well, only because he couldn't decide which breast to fondle.
No, he was experiencing qualms. Oh. I mean, what we witnessed was the first stirrings of Thomas's conscience.
Professor, do you mind if I give you a little bit of constructive criticism?
Oh, go on.
You're a prat. An infuriating, perverse, self-deluding imbecile. Why do I waste my time on you? Hmm? Well, as far as I'm concerned, you don't win this stupid bet unless Thomas does something that is A, exclusively for the benefit of another being, and B, does so without sampling their anatomy. Is that clear? You got me all irritated now, which means the first sinner I come across is going to be force-fed a plate of porcupines, and that is all your fault.
Well, that's not very fair. I'm the one who's annoyed you. Feed me the porcupines.
No, you'd probably enjoy it. Build some bloody thesis around it, no? Yeah. That's not going to be relaxing for me, is it? No. I need to hear some therapeutic screaming.
Oh, Deborah. I just hope I know what I'm doing. I think I saw Thomas hesitate. But it was a sort of hesitation, just for a split second. I'm sure it... There was a definite suggestion of doubt in the eyes. He's right, I'm a prat.
Old Harry's Game featured Andy Hamilton as Satan, James Grout as the Professor, Jimmy Melville as Thomas, Robert Duncan as Scumspawn, and Felicity Montague as Alice. The program was written by Andy Hamilton and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.